For logbook servicing you can rely on, you need to make the right choice. You need trained professionals who are fully qualified to service your car according to manufacturer's specifications. For real peace of mind and a nationwide warranty, book in or book online at repcoservice.com.
G'day everybody, welcome to the show. It is the Carlton Show. Some of you may remember it from days gone by because one of the idiots in the room has been putting pressure on us for a while to get back together. We have relented, and why wouldn't we at the end of what's been a dramatic, well, hopefully it's not the end come Sunday, but the end of what's been, nearing the end of what's been an unbelievably dramatic and fascinating season for us, one of the most dramatic nights we've all lived through as a supporter group for a long time last Saturday night, and how much we've got to look forward to in front of a sold-out MCG on Sunday. It's hard to believe that we find ourselves in the position we do, but we do. And we're going to have a chat about that, and we're going to chat about what we've been through and whatever else comes to mind. It's nice to be back with these two idiots. Baz, this is your doing. You're responsible for this.
I am.
What have you got to say for yourself?
What have I got to say? Let's just say, first and foremost, I want to thank both of you for obviously accepting.
You don't have to thank us for anything, but keep going.
Well, don't tell me what I can and can't say, otherwise it's going to be a fucking short program.
Well, you don't have to thank us as well.
No, I do. I do. Because, you know, it's been a tough couple of years for all of us, and this was pretty much dead and buried. I just felt that the week that we're going to endure, the build-up, the whole... the enormity of this week and the opponent that we're playing, I felt that I needed you to be with me through a little bit of it, I guess, you know, rather than just on the WhatsApp. It's nice to see us. It's been it's been ages. We're going to have a couple of frothies here. And I do say thank you to both of you. And an opportunity to also say thanks to all the listeners that we probably didn't thank because our show sort of came to an end pretty abruptly. And those two who are going to listen to this, thank you very much as well. Mm. So thanks for all, being loyal, and away we go.
We're all in this together, Gex. It's a big week for all Carlton supporters.
Yeah, it's just great to be physically back in the same space with you guys again. I've been hanging out to get back together. A couple of missed opportunities during the year to see games and things like that. So, you know, rather than being acquaintances on social media, it's good to actually physically be in the room.
Well, such is the nature of footy these days that if you just decide, hey, let's all go to the footy together this week, it's actually not as easy to do, particularly with folks who have got reserved seats and you sit there and that's where you go. So but it's just not as easy to do that these days. And one of the reasons we stopped doing the show was because we started to kind of, you know, come out. The reason for doing it in the first place was because we were in a deep, dark hole and no one was speaking about us. So I felt like we had a void to fill. And when to some end, the three of us did that. You've only got to look around now and there's Carlton podcasts all over the joint. So no one needs to hear from us anymore. There's plenty of others out there doing that now, and you're bobbing up as a special guest on one a week these days. So everybody in the Carlton family is well served by Carlton people talking about Carlton now, and hopefully we said it many, many years ago.
You said it.
The dog days being over, but hopefully this is the first real step towards us getting back to where we want to be on a more sustainable kind of basis this year.
Yep, well said. And I think we're going to basically kick off with Saturday night, and we're going to keep it brief. We're not going to review the whole match.
But what do you want to say that
on Saturday night? Yeah, all I want to ask both of you is basically coming into the game, I asked both of you, did you think that we could get the job done? I think both of you, I think probably were looking for a miracle. Me being me, I had a feeling, a gut feeling, that we'd serve it up to them. We did. 3 minutes to go, we set the scene. 3 minutes to go, the game's ebbing and flowing. Charlie kicks that goal with three minutes to go. Well, I know what I did, right? You know, I got Fiona to me right. We both jumped out of the couch. I pick her up, saw back and all, and throw her, and she almost hit the roof, right? And internally, I call it. I call it. I know we're going to win, right? So I know we're going to win. So I'm on a massive high. I sit back down, I look at the clock, and I see a tick under 3 minutes, and I'm thinking, oh, well, 3 minutes is a long time. Mm-hmm. Geez, have I gone a bit early here? And Melchin takes that mark in amongst three or four of them. Unforgivable. We understand that. And then really the pupa valve is really tightening. Mm. From there on in, it's really tightening. And it tightened for our boys as well. But when that kick went through of Cozzy Pickett, so the elation from 2.5 minutes ago to the feeling I had then, and when I turned to my right and I see my 27-year-old daughter, non compos mensis, tears flowing, tears. Mate, that hits you. Yeah. That hits you. Yeah. As a father, you know, it hits you. As a supporter of this club, it hits you. You know what it means to my right.
Mm.
I know what I'm feeling, and I've got 11 seconds left on the clock, and I'm consoling her with my eye on the TV, hoping for a miracle.
Mm. Mm.
For a straight tap down, kick into the forward line, mark, we steal it. Didn't happen. What did I feel? Totally empty, gutted. I felt like I was on another planet. I didn't know where I was. Hands in my head. That's what I felt.
Mm.
So that was me Saturday night.
Give us your classic and inimitable take on these things.
Yeah. Well, see, my family are notoriously unemotional types anyway. So, and I'm the biggest cynic on the planet. So I have an inevitability about these things that I almost expect. I'd rather be happily surprised, but you know, I sort of leave those moments for seeing great moments in sport and especially Carlton great moments, and they stay with me for the rest of my life, obviously. But being, a bit more cynical, logical, left side of the brain, I kind of just process what I know about what I've seen before and history sort of repeating itself. And until we knock down those walls of the ghosts past and present to a degree, and we sort of kick those skeletons out of the closet once and for all, I kind of expect the inevitability of some of these moments. So I was gutted. Don't tell nothing. I was sitting with my son in the lounge, and you know, we were just shaking our heads in disbelief that it had happened in a big moment once again, unfortunately. But the beauty of sport and the ability to redeem yourself very quickly is certainly there for us. Mm, so,
sure, yeah.
You know.
Well said.
You just take it as it comes, and you just got to take the next opportunity.
Yeah, well said, Gex. I mean, you've got the extremist, crazy me, and then you've got the Gex.
No, you're both feeling the same things, but it comes out in a different way.
Yeah. In yourself. Andy?
No, just the same. Same as you, blokes. Like, I think we all lived exactly the same experience as Carlton supporters. So, you know, and there's the ugly side of the loss where, you know, you see an automatic reaction and one that festers for 24 hours and people want to lay the boots into individuals and he's no good, get him out of there. And this is the worst of all supporter bases, but we are more attached to ours. So we see that from a Carlton perspective more than we see it in others. And it's about the most disappointing thing about being a Carlton supporter. Added to the fact that I presume it was one of ours who racially abused Cozzy Pickett after the game, which is, you know, just beyond belief. I mean, that same person probably thought they were supporting Eddie Betts at some stage. So you weren't. So, you know, you can do the post-mortem and you can go, well, if he had marked that, or if the punch had gone there, or if the kick had found the target. And that's what we do. We've all done it, right? We've all thought the same things.
But the result's the result.
So I went back to, because I'm trying to glass half full this year, because I go back to where I was at the start of the year and what my expectations were. And, of course, they change when you get to 8-2. You start to see yourself in the four and you hear what people are starting to say about us and your best is as good as anyone's. And you know, we can temper that, I think, as Carlton supporters, because we know what we haven't got access to from a playing perspective and what a difference we'd like to think that would make to a four-quarter performance against the best teams in the competition, which was the best thing about Saturday night.
Yeah.
At halftime, Fritch gets that free kick downfield. Marchbanks
only kick for the night.
Yeah, Marchbank's done a magnificent job on him, taking him completely out of the game. And what a magnificent thing it was to see Marchy back in that sort of form. Maybe the four quarters is still finding him out a little bit, but he's getting better every single week. So he kicks that goal and you think, here they go, into half time. You can see the body language. They've been here. They know how to put sides away. And I think we said to one another, the next 10 minutes, the first 10 minutes of the third quarter is going to be huge here. And we stood up. We stood up magnificently. And we're in the game. And we gave ourselves every chance of winning it with a team that, you know, has got, you can pick or choose. It depends how highly you rate perhaps someone like Dave Cunningham. But we've probably got 4 to 6 players outside our best 22 at the moment who aren't playing. Maybe more, maybe less. You can.
Well, three out of the midfield, Andy's. Yeah, we know the three out of the midfield. Yeah. Kennedy, Hewitt, and Chera.
Yeah.
So that's been our midfield all year. Yeah, so, yeah. There's just three bang straight up.
So you can kick that around all you like. But I thought the performance was, I don't want to say heroic, because, but I tell you what, if they had have hung on, I know how the coach feels about it. If they had have hung on, that would have been one of the best wins that he's ever seen a team that he's associated with enjoy.
No doubt.
And they were 15 seconds away from it.
Yep.
And you're playing a team that aren't going as well as they have in the last 18 months, but they're still going okay.
Yeah.
That is a team where we don't have the belief to just keep our feet on the ground and stay calm when the heat's really on. They do. They know what to do, and they'll take, even if it's a mung kick from Lever that goes inboard, they'll take it on because they sort of know where one another is and what needs to get done. And even the tap, I think it might have been Melksham again. I've sort of stopped watching it, but Melksham just made sure the ball didn't get trapped underneath him late, so it stayed bobbling around, knowing full well that he probably had a teammate, and he did, who was in a position to take advantage of a loose ball, and he did. And the rest is history. I mean, so, you know, that's where we will get to, I've got no doubt. I've got no doubt we get there. But it'll take more time. It'll take maybe one or two more of these along the way before we grow into the side that we think we're going to be. So, and that kind of leads us to the, you know, before we talk about what's coming up on Sunday, it leads us to, like, our kind of one chance to get together this year and have a chat about it, but the review of where this coaching group has kind of taken us. This is their first year together.
I use the phrase version one. This is version one of Michael Voss's regime.
Yep.
And I think on a positive side, he has stamped his qualities onto the team, which is what we've wanted a harder edge on this team for a long time. And yes, it's been helped by the acquisition of a couple of stronger-bodied midfielders, plus the surprise of Matty Kennedy's form, which came out of nowhere.
I don't really. There was a few glimpses late last year that
in the second half
he was fine. He was
second
finding
half of last
his,
year
finding
was,
his feet.
Definitely.
Yeah, but he's built on that
but
brilliantly.
That toughness in the middle of the ground has, and Michael Voss played his football in that type of atmosphere. I think that set the tone for what we've seen this year with the team. A little bit one dimensional as it's turned out.
I agree with that,
because we're only as good as that cohort of players stayed fit as it's turned out. But look, definitely an improvement on last year. Mentally, physically, psychologically, that effort-based minimum level of what you expect from the team has been raised, in my opinion, to a far more consistent level.
Yeah, that's fair, because we've had everything that Gek said then, there's been improvement in, there's no doubt about that. We've had a few bumps along the way. In terms of games that we didn't bring a level of effort and whatever, you're going to have that along the way. So if we're talking coaches at the moment, or the senior coach, I've just written down here, I said, he's got them believing I do believe that he's got them believing in themselves. There might have been a few hiccups of late. Playing for each other. And certain players, what I like to see is that there's some lesser likes that we may or may not have had sort of distantly shoved to the side and probably thought, they're probably done and dusted. They'll be out this year. Well, he's got some of these guys playing roles. You know, they're role players. And they've grown into the year.
Who are you talking about?
I think players like Cottrell. Cottrell, I think he's had a really good year. Mm. And at stages, perhaps last year, or if you had have asked me, or Kex had have asked me at the start of the year, do you think Cottrell's going to be there at the end of the year? I might have sort of said, I'm not quite sure. But players like himself, look, Durden, you know, you've got Owies. These are just, I think, they're role players to a degree. Maybe to a lesser degree, O'Brien, he was a higher draft pick, and I guess where you get picked, you know, people tend to sort of expect more from you, which is probably not exactly the right thing to be doing.
There's a waiting that comes with that. I mean, you know, that's just you take someone as in a first round, and
you expect
first round productivity, and you know, and when we were doing the show, we would often, I guess, criticise our footy club for maybe not being very good at developing the talent that it brought through the door. Mm. That we left a few talented players unfinished and undeveloped. And the one thing about the footy club, and this goes very much to the entire coaching staff and probably a couple of coaches we don't even really know much about, but I think they are getting more out of more players now than they probably did. When did we start doing the pod? 5 or 6 years ago? Yeah. So
well, maybe
they're definitely getting more out of more players now than they did back then. I think that's a fair. I think that's a fair call.
Mm. I think it is. I think it is. And whether that's system based or structure or just player development, a better player development with Luke Power being there and Daniel O'Keefe and those types, I'm not quite sure. It's a combination of everything, I guess. But you know, if you can make your players believe, then you know you're halfway there.
Mm.
So that you know, I think that's what I see. I mean, on the negative side of things, there's not a huge amount of negatives, to be honest with you. I think they're still trying to find the balance between talls and smalls at both ends of the ground. What exactly works? I don't really think they've got the ruck situation, or they're not. That's still trial and error with what combination you actually.
Well, it's worth pausing on that just for a minute, because that's the here and now, right? So we need to get that. I don't know how many people watched the game from Casey on the weekend, but it was terrible conditions, windy and rainy, and it's hard to assess big fellas in those conditions. But he whacked away, Tommy, but he just looks tired to me.
Mm.
And the Silvani pit net for the here and now in. And we're playing finals footy, let's be honest. This is another final coming up on Sunday. You know, you want blokes who can physically cop, you know, a beating. Don't just rely on your natural talent. And De Koning will become more than he is as every year goes by, because he's so naturally gifted. And he's still so young to be doing what he's doing. But do we all agree that the Pitnet-Silvani combination is the combination that we should take, you know, through the final, if we get into a finals campaign?
I don't think we've got much choice with what's left, really.
Do you reckon De Koning's done for the season?
Oh, he looked a bit beat up and worn out to me.
I love the kid, by the way. Yeah, this is not a pot. I'm not knocking him in the slightest.
What he's actually shouldered for most of this season has been incredible. I mean, his level of performance through the second half of the season up until the last 2 or 3 weeks – where I think he just fell off the cliff, has been nothing short of a miracle to me.
I agree. Like,
for a kid his age, and he's got a heart as big as himself.
Yep.
He's literally a Farlap bloody rip-off. But, you keep going on that subject if you wanted to add anything.
No, you chuck
the only thing the only thing I was going to add is that through the fact of some midfielders being out at the moment, the three that we mentioned, Setterfield came in. I thought he was pretty good on the weekend.
I agree.
I actually thought I'd almost given up on Setters as a disappointment, possibly might not be good enough.
I've still got him as a disappointment when we talk about disappointments, but he showed something on the weekend.
He's given himself a lifeline with that performance.
Yes.
He played a different role on
Oliver.
On Oliver.
Yeah.
Not only did he keep him quiet, but he also got enough of the ball to influence the game to a degree. I think the follow-up performance this week is big on him.
Gigantic.
Huge, mate.
He has another opportunity to actually show us what he's got.
Oh, spot on, mate.
He's got to back it up.
Yep.
And the respect he can get back in return is enormous for him.
Yep, absolutely. So Setterfield comes into that midfield and does a reasonable job on the weekend. We tried Doherty, and I think Doherty was in our top three on the weekend.
It worked.
Yeah. So, and Fisher's now rotating through there as well. And I think I saw a couple others go through there. Well, they were not much, but I think Durden and I think Cottrell attended centre
Stocker
bounces.
And
Stocker had a little taste of it as well when he was following Petrarca. So what the coaches then gain out of all of this is that when those three are back, the three that aren't there, we can still play a merry-go-round in there and keep players fresh.
Mm.
So do you see where I'm going with that forward?
If I was going to have any criticism of the coaching this year, and it was the same criticism I would have had in previous coaching regimes, they've been too late to react to momentum changes, especially in midfield, because we're very hot and very cold in that area sometimes. We're very pro-Cripps and to a lesser degree Walsh when he's in there, because they're the most influential players in that midfield role. But if Cripps is getting tagged out of the game, then get him out of there and rotate these guys we've just mentioned through there and just try and spark a difference.
So I have got that down as a negative, but I can see it turning into a positive.
Well, there's no doubt about that. When we were humming early in the season, and it was all the big blokes in there, the big strong blokes in there, and we're just ping, 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 and we're out.
We might have caught a few sides by surprise.
We probably did. And they woke up to us. And we're a team that is very much built on clearance dominance. So once that was taken away from us as a dominant aspect of what we could produce, then we did hit a flat spot, you know, and we hit a couple of injuries. And so I think we do need, and I think so to your point, Gex, and a couple of the notes that you mentioned just in your spiel then, Baz, there's a couple of points of difference in there. Like Fisher is a point of difference in there. Doherty's a point of difference in there. They're a bit lighter
One of them's a ball magnet.
Well, and they're a bit lighter on their feet. And I'm the last person, I don't know whether I am. I am still a believer in David Cunningham. And
oh, no doubt.
And he is
tantalising.
He's the player. So forget about Zach Williams and, you know, because I think we know what Zach is, and he's a high, and he was, I think Zach Williams was going, he had a couple, but I think Zach Williams' first seven or eight games, however many he played before he got injured, I think he played some really good footy. There were a couple of games where he wasn't so great, but there were a couple of games where I thought, oh, yeah, no, get some continuity.
But I think
we
know where his spot is.
I think we do, right? And he can go in there and do a bit of that if we need him to.
If need be.
But Cunningham's the one. I truly still believe this. I think he's a thoroughbred, and I still think he's the point of difference. He's explosive.
He's got X factor.
He's just got to play. And we were saying this when we were together.
Jeez,
we were. So nothing's really changed with him.
We're crying out for ball users.
And
people who can actually see the game in front of them and hit that target.
Yep.
They can see the space in front of a player and put it in front of them. We don't have enough of them.
No. We probably don't.
They're but the players that we are missing. Like, to make us more complete, not to say we'd be a finished product by any means, but the wings that we're playing this year are the two missing midfielders that would complete a more cohesive transitional team that we're missing at the moment, as far as I'm concerned. I know guys like Cotterill, Nunes, whoever have been playing those positions, they're still, like, Nunes has been around long enough to know what he's going to give you. Cotterill is a developing player, has played minimal games. But if you have established wingmen who can transition the ball and use it when they get it, you're adding to the midfield group.
No doubt. And no doubt.
It's the outside game that we are now stalling on because we don't have players who can kick the ball.
What do you think about O'Brien then, Gex? I mean, like, is he one of those that, yeah, you can see him when he ball in hand, he can produce a nice 40-metre kick, but he can produce the howlers as well. So, I can sense you're not quite, yeah. We're not quite sold there, are we? Are we?
I don't think you can afford footballers in this modern age who are only outside uncontested footballers.
There's a few of them around.
I mean, know there are.
No, there's a few
you
of them
might
around.
Be able to afford
the old
one.
I think the old traditional wingman has actually come. The bloke who just posts himself out there as the outlet player and the in between the arc sort of gut runner. That's what. But there was the goal that we all talked about that he kicked, or not the goal, but that he created where he chipped it inboard. I think it was against Brisbane. We were coming back and he chipped it into someone, Owies, and maybe Owies missed the set shot. I don't know. But the gut running from O'Brien in that instance was impressive. He's done.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to know.
No issue there.
The one thing about him is he's in much better nick now as a potential AFL footballer than he was 12 months ago,
He trimmed down.
Yep.
He trimmed down, which helped his running, Andy.
I'd like to know. How many players in our team take on the kicks that he takes on and whether the turnovers are exacerbated a bit because sometimes he does try and hit the threading ball sort of inside the corridor. One thing I wish he'd do more of, and he had a chance on Saturday night, mate, you are such a beautiful kick. When you're in space and you're 50 out, fucking kick the goal, mate. Have a shot.
Oh,
he had that one on the members' side going...
I've seen
just
that a
kicked,
few.
Mate, like, and he tried to
set a fielding at the Gabba.
Oh, the Gabba was terrible. Was broke my heart. Just kick God. Back yourself, boys.
Absolutely.
Back yourself, and that's the next. That's what the Petrarcas and the Neils and that's what the top shelfers do. They do it once and they go, oh shit, that felt all right, and they do it again and again and again. They don't kick them all the time, but they never back off.
Just back to Lockie and his type of player. I mean. It's really interesting when selecting teams for certain games, and one game and one week isn't the same to the next. So you take, for example, the Adelaide and the Gold Coast game earlier in the year. You're playing in conditions where it's slippery most times, and it becomes a completely contested game of football. Adelaide turned their home game into a completely contested game of football.
Yeah.
They surrounded our midfield group with extra numbers.
We were awful.
The ball's just spitting out all night.
No, we were horrible. We defended horribly.
In my opinion, you should be able to see that type of thing before you're selecting the team. And there are certain people who aren't suited to those conditions. They're not going to get many possessions. They're not going to be effective. They might have... You know, they might have two or three opportunities for the night to actually use their strength. So I think we either get smarter with selection or we just...
Is it fair to say we've been a bit hamstrung this year? Like
no
the
doubt.
Injury, and we'll talk no about doubt. The injury list in a minute.
What I'm trying to say is, though, if you have okay form leading up to a game that you're not suited in, sometimes I think you have to be a bit harder with your selection, you know. It's same thing with taking two ruckmen into a game like you've got to really be hard and thoughtful about the type of personnel you take into a game because you're playing two or three men short if you're not smart.
No, that's true. I don't disagree with that.
I think that's right.
So if you've got a full list, I think you can be a little bit more experimental with.
And same with midfielders.
Horses for courses.
Have the courage to give guys a rest.
No doubt.
Even if it's to the detriment of the team.
It's not hurting Geelong.
You get a 23-round season. You can't play everyone every week.
That's dead right.
So just moving on to general thoughts about your overview of the year thus far. And I know we've got one game to go. But do you have any general positives on the year thus far that you can pinpoint? And they can be a small point or long point, whatever. Any positives or negatives with the year thus far? I mean, I've written down a few.
Well, go on. You go first.
Oh, look, I think we'd all agree that there was a time there where I think we conceded 5 and 6 goals in a row, 33 out of 50 games.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of not really there this year.
Moderate right of that, but yep.
On that subject.
Yep.
We got incredibly lucky with picking up Lewis Young.
I don't think that was luck.
The bloke
who brought him to the club.
I don't think anyone realised when we got him how valuable he would end up being.
Us as supporters. Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, the recruiter knew exactly what he was
Nick
getting.
Nick Austin knew exactly what he was getting, mate.
I mean, losing Liam Jones pre-season could have had diabolical consequences on this team.
Well, what he was able to do in the absence of Jacob Wiedering
was
incredible. Beyond belief, actually.
Yep, absolutely.
So he held that back line together.
Any expectations of what he might bring, multiply that by 2, 3, 4 times. He has exceeded expectations.
So he's another introverted kid, and he doesn't outwardly believe.
No.
So we've got to somehow get in his head.
Yep.
There was a moment late in the game on Saturday night where he could have stayed on the ground and taken a chest mark. He flew 3v1, ball hit him on the head, went out of bounds, and it was all just a bit – it all got a bit too crazy. And it was getting crazy for everyone. Right? It wasn't just him. But he's a kid. He's a baby, mate. Like, he's 20.
He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a coaching thing or whether it's an instruction or a habit thing now with him, but he's become too – spoiler-centric.
He has
got an incredibly good overhead mark, intercept mark.
He took a few the other night.
It's come off the boil in the second half. I think he's got to back himself when he gets the chance a little bit
more. Well, he set a record on Saturday night. I'm not sure spoils. If you know, for spoils. 24 spoils is an AFL record. But,
he took about 8 or 9 intercept marks the other night.
I actually had him, for me personally, he was my 3-voter on the night.
I thought it was great.
The next one was only one team scored over 100 points against us this year. It was Brisbane the other week. I think that's a step in the right direction. Midfield, highly competitive. In an era where we've been bereft of midfielders, now we've talked about the 4 or 5 that go through there now.
I think
they're a competitive
this year,
midfield.
They've got back and helped more than they ever have.
That is the system that Voss has brought in that, unfortunately, the previous coach did not want to address.
I think it also reflects...
He didn't want to address that at all.
It also reflects some of the
who
players
we've got
that
in
left,
there. Yeah, fair
that
enough.
Left from, that were outed from the squad.
Oh, yeah,
from
okay.
Last
well,
year.
Let's not go there, yeah. So, yeah, Kennedy, Hewitt, Chera, Fisher, there's the ones we're talking about. The win-loss, we're up to 12 wins. We haven't been to 12 wins for, I don't know, the last time we got to double figures, to be honest. It'd have to be... I'm not quite sure when it was. It'd have to be 10 years. But we've got to 12 wins at this stage. Percentage, Andy, it was one of your... I remember one of your things were, you know, I'm looking at percentage. We're up to 109%. It's, again, first time we've been up around over 100 for many years. The feeling that we're in most games... Have you had that feeling generally that we're in most games?
Yeah, more often than not, no doubt. Yeah, for sure.
Rather than last year, the second half of last year, I can recall sitting there just watching games, being numb.
Sometimes within the first 10 minutes, you'd know.
You know.
The personality of our performance, before you keep going, just on that, has kind of changed in the course of the season.
Sorry?
The personality of our performance. Like, we were at the start of the year, and I've done nothing on this, so I could be barking mad, but at the start of the year, we kind of relied on blistering sort of 30-minute, the Sydney game, the Hawthorn game, where we blew teams off the park. They just could not go with us. Mm. And we'd put 8 goals, 9 goals on teams, and we just, and then suddenly the momentum shifted, and I wasn't the run-ons that we, you know, couldn't stop back in, but we relied on that to set up victories.
Mm.
And in the second half of the year, we lost a bit of that. We lost a bit of the...
I think
and then
it reflects
became
the midfield. Like, we had quick clearance.
Yeah, probably true. It's probably right.
It suited our forwards.
Yeah, it's probably right.
We got the one-on-ones.
Mm. Mm. That's probably right.
And then once the injuries hit, we had to resort to different styles.
Yeah, it's probably fair call. Yep.
I think we've become a really good contested team. That's pretty obvious, I think. No one disagrees there.
Mm.
And this is one that probably doesn't reflect on the team itself, but for me, seeing fans walk to games with smiles on their faces and during the games with smiles on their faces and not leaving the games at halftime, three-quarter time, and halfway through the last, It gives you a lift. It gives you a lift. Yeah. A real lift. I mean, I love
the
that.
The Roar was back too.
Oh, the Carlton Roar's been back all year.
Can we stop the Wolf?
Yeah.
Can we just stop the Sard Wolf? It's just embarrassing. I mean, the idea of it's okay, but it's just, it's not working. Don't wolf him when he's kicking it 15 metres sideways. Just stop it. But the rest of what you just said.
We're
big again.
I think the general energy and that next man up mentality has been such a relief for those players who come in that you're not just making up numbers, boys. Like, you're there for a reason. You know, if you're on our list, right, I'm going to need you at some stage. Be ready to play. You play well, you stay. So they're the positives. Anything to add out of any of that?
Or? Oh, I feel like our list, my big positive before you go is simply, I feel like our list is deeper. I feel like the list is deeper now than it has been in recent times. And you know, there's kids like, we haven't seen much of them. You know, Motlop, I think Durden's going to be a player. I think Jack Carroll will develop into a player. I think Jordan Boyd's, I had really no expectations on Boyd, but before he got injured at the worst time for that kid.
Yeah, I agree.
He was really starting to find
his massive upside.
And he can kick the footy.
Yes.
He's a beautiful kick of the footy.
Penetrating kick.
I feel like we just found a couple of players. And, you know, when we get, you know, when, if we get our injury list under control, these players can just be, they can flourish under a team that's
just
got,
extending what you're saying, Andy, this is the exciting, in my mind too, just agreeing with what you're saying, Kemp, Motlop, yep. Durden, Boyd, Honey, Stocker, Cotterill, Carroll, Young, TDK, and even Murkoff and Akwi.
I like them both. I like him. The Ruckman's got a real chance, by the way.
We're talking about 12 real players chance. There who've played a handful of games. Their upside, they're going to be varying sort of upsides to those guys as to how far they can go.
Yep.
But there is an amazing amount of excitement as what they can bring to the team. Like, all of those guys have different attributes.
Mm.
If they're developed the right way, and I have great faith in O'Keefe, in the VFL.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I think he's a fantastic developer. I love everything he's doing. He mirrors the systems that we're trying to play in the senior team. And I think he gives really good feedback to his players and sort of lets them know exactly where they are and what they need to do to improve. Those blokes that I mentioned, 12 of them, they're almost unknowns at this stage of their careers. But their ability to take us to the next level, I think, is really exciting.
No, I agree with that. I think there's three or four blokes. Like, if a team came in from Tasmania, so we're looking to fill another list, there's three or four blokes who aren't on our list who are running around in our seconds. And this probably applies for six or seven teams above us on the ladder, but there's a couple of players who I reckon would hold their own more than capably on an AFL list, if called up to play an AFL game next week, in our two. So I agree with you. I think the system is working, and there is correlation. And it's exciting. I think Murkoff's, there's something about the kid. There's something about, he's got a bit of shit about him. His tap work for a bloke who has played no football is exquisite.
He's got a bit of Harry Madden about him, I reckon.
The first week,
a bit more skill actually. But
the worst week of the year for them, the twos, was the Frankston game. Just about the first half of that game, dominant. Like that, the big bloke was. I'm sure he played in that game. I hope I'm not getting my games mixed up, but there's a bit to like about him.
He hurt his knee on the weekend too.
Twice he's done it, Gex.
Yeah, right.
Two or three times he's hurt his knee this year.
I didn't hear what the
outcome. He needs to get stronger.
I think it's stitches or something.
He needs to get stronger. Oh, he's nothing. He needs to build up.
Absolutely.
So there's a bit. I agree with you. Yeah. There's a bit to like, you know. And we haven't seen, still on our list, we haven't seen the best of Mitch McGovern. It's coming. We haven't seen the best of Jack Martin. Hopefully it's coming. We haven't seen the best of Zach Williams. And hopefully we get it. Those three blokes, and it's the big if, and it's Chuck Cunningham in for goodness. This goes to the great lament, I think, for all of us this year. Well, maybe not the great, but we just can't get these guys on the park often enough. And I'm sure it's...
This is the knife's edge, isn't it?
It's the difference,
mate. Is it going to go one side or the other for us with these blokes?
This makes all the difference. This makes all the difference.
We've never had full seasons out of any.
They had no one. They had McDonald out the other night, and it took them the last kick to beat us. Geelong's had no one out all year.
They're sitting on top of the ladder.
This makes
Sydney,
all the difference.
Sydney.
They've had no one out.
They're second on the ladder.
This is the difference maker. So we got to get our good players fit. I don't know, and I don't know.
Or we have to make a call on them.
Well, that's right. And they maybe, back in the old days, maybe some of them are crocs.
Is there any way of finding out what the future lies with these people?
How would you know?
Because I'd love to know.
Well, someone knows, can they let us know?
Thing by all of us.
So everything that you've just said leads to the point that the year that we've had, given the injury list that we have and to the personnel, it just accentuates the fact that, like, this year's been a pretty good year for us.
I've got let's say we miss, right?
You
can see it, right? Yeah. You know what's coming. Yeah. 8-2, you're a joke, Carlton a miss, laughing stock, take the piss, right? Yeah. You know, we know what's coming if we miss, right? So we know what's coming. The dust will settle. And people who are, and there'll be Carlton supporters amongst those potting us louder than anyone else. And that's okay. We know who they are. We know who you are. There's a couple who are, have...
toxic.
Absolutely. And they like having a, you probably know who they are better than me because you're very much, I'm not going to mention names, but you're very much involved with the sort of social media, the Twitter Carlton community more than we are. But there's a couple of them who have handled themselves, read the men's and women's program, disgracefully as supporters, disgracefully. And you call yourself a supporter, you're not a supporter. Mm. You're a cheap seat critic and it makes you feel better. Fine, no problems. I don't give a stuff what your agendas are. That's yours to... But if you're a supporter of the footy club, don't mean you can't be critical. Just don't be an arsehole.
Mm.
Don't be malicious.
Be a human being.
Yeah, simple. That's it. That's all you got to be. Just be that. So getting back to the point before I... If we miss, the dust will settle and I will be quite content with where we are.
I'm happy with that.
Yep.
I'm happy with that.
I don't want to miss. I want to play a final.
That's obvious.
What?
That's obvious. We all do. That's obvious. But the point is, if you don't, and you assess what we've just said, the positive, there's plenty of positive. I don't have a lot of negatives to be
keep
honest.
Going. You keep going. You're bowling them up because you're triggering things
Well, that's all the positives, and you guys have added a few. The negatives, the negatives were the injury toll, but then... That negative turned into a positive because we adopted the next man up and we found a few. We found a few little – we found some players that were prepared to dig in when the chips are down and whether they've cemented their spot going forward, like there's always going to be injuries. So the injury toll, yep, negative, but the negative turned into a positive – I think.
Mm.
Look, to be honest with you, other negatives, I'm probably nitpicking here, to be honest, because something Gex used to talk about was mids to forward connection. You're happy with that at the moment, or that can improve
still
dramatically?
Still not enough movement. I mean, you see the good sides, they'll make a space in the forward pocket and the forwards will lead into that and they'll get an easy hit-up lead. And
we don't. Do you feel that we work a little bit too hard for our goals?
I don't know. Again,
second half of the year, I reckon we
are. I never know if it's instruction or just the psychology of the team.
We're a very high possession high possession team. I think we're one or two in the league for high possession, for possessing the ball.
Mm.
And when you look at the scores that we kick, whether they're, well, I don't know what we average.
We're number one disposals per game.
Yeah, but scores per disposal we'd probably – so does that need tweaking? Andy, you probably are a better student of the game when it comes to
– oh, no, the guru looks at this
or
stuff.
Or Gex yourself. Yeah, but both of you two, not so much myself, because when I talk about the forwards to mid connection, what can we do better?
To me, it comes back to what we were doing well at the start of the year. We had a very strong – midfield group. We would win clearance. We'd run forward very quickly with it. Quick entries in the 50s gave our forwards a chance one-on-one.
Are you talking centre bounce clearance?
Yeah. Well,
I want to see.
That's what we were really good at, and that's what we took advantage of. To evolve from that, we need to actually learn how to transition the ball properly. And to do that, we need better foot skills and better running patterns to allow those foot skills to, you know, be continuous all the way down the ground.
Go quicker, better ball movement, take risks. Is that...
Yeah. The problem is in our back line as it stands now, we have some very conservative-minded backmen. We don't have Newman anymore who could kick a ball. We don't have Boyd who could kick a ball. Now it's Wiedering and Young. Saad's the only one, and they all know that they've got a sweat on him.
Mm.
So these guys...
McGovern's a beautiful kid.
Is a shining light, thank God.
He's probably our best kid.
Hopefully he stands up. Yep. But guys like Wiedering and Young, they're risk adverse. Mm. They don't want to do anything more than their 15, 20 metre little.
That's okay. I think you've got to. I think you've horses for courses. I don't think Lewis Young.
I don't want them to be better than that. I'm just saying we're restricted because that's the way they play.
But you've got to surround them with enough of the other type. Say the three talls were Wiedering, Marchbank, and Young. You just got to surround them. You've got to be lucky with injury again. But if you're surrounding them with Saad, Boyd, and Newman, and maybe one of the mids sort of drops back to help out, there's enough talent in terms of a kicking perspective to get you out of trouble.
But unfortunately, going into this week,
it gives the opposition a lot of opportunity
to restrict us.
Yeah, so that's where the Melbourne game for me was really admirable, because we weren't able to throw our best punch at Melbourne in terms of what we think we can do if we're close to full strength. We weren't able to, but we cobbled together a mindset more than a game plan, but probably both, that was competitive against one of the premier sides in the competition. Playing, by the way, we reckon we had a bit on the line, so do they. They want to finish top four. They had to win that game of footy.
Well, they've got to win this week to finish top four as well.
They've got no chance. If we beat them, they're cooked. So,
I agree with all that. But what's interesting is going from last week to this week, you've got two different sets of situations here. You've got Melbourne, who are, number one, they back themselves. They're the number one or two rated team in the comp. They don't have to worry about opposition as much. They don't put a lot of time into restricting the opposition because they back themselves, right?
Yeah, yep.
And they're predominantly a contested football team as well. So they'll say, our contested football game will beat your contested football game. We'll just back ourselves. Going into this game, we've got a different kettle of fish. We've got Collingwood. It's not a night game. It's a day game. It might be wet. Maybe the wet will help us in this situation. I don't know. But Collingwood are more of a ball-moving team.
No doubt.
They will shift the angles and they will open spaces and they will try and move the ball up and down the ground, which it's not our area of expertise.
No, they just come at you hard.
Okay, so last time we played them, that's how they played against us, and they dominated the game. We were in it for some reason. I don't even know how.
No.
They didn't kick accurately.
It would have been a pinch.
So this is the problem. You can say we played well last week, but our game style was suited to the way Melbourne played, and they let us have our strengths and match it against theirs. This week, Collingwood can sort of pick our strengths and try and counter them a little bit more, and we have to think a bit more about how we counter their style of football, which is, it's a different game of football altogether. So I'm a little bit worried on that side of things. But by the same token, I think Collingwood have started sort of diminishing some of their strengths, and I think they've got a few injury worries that might help us even up the game a bit.
Well, the go is huge, obviously, in terms of... But you know, like, I think if we bring... So I take your point, you know, different opponent, different requirements. We definitely have a team that has the manpower to beat Collingwood.
We've got to play to our strengths.
Yeah, we do. And we've got to get our two big boys in the game earlier. We've got to get him in the game earlier. We've got to get Harry and Charlie in the game a bit earlier, get him feeling good about themselves. Because what they do play a very offensive start. They take offensive starting positions. Moore and Howe in particular will give us looks.
Yes.
They will give us looks.
They give you a chance.
So if we get the balls into – if we get balls into the hands of the right people going forward, then they've just got – and that can be – you know, we'll go through it, but Stocker can use it the right way. O'Brien can use it the right way. Pick two or three others. I'm stuck.
If you see
one of our blokes off their bloke, off Moore or Howe by, or the other bloke who's down there, Murphy, if you see him off them by five steps, fucking kick it to him. Give our blokes a chance one out against those guys with two advantage. So kicking it to advantage this week is going to be critical if the conditions allow footy to be played that way. And let Charlie and Harry go to work this week.
I actually think Jack Martin might be the man.
The signs from him on the weekend were extraordinarily positive.
I think he's the Jack in the Box. I think he might be the one.
I think he was really good again. He played footy the right way the other night.
Yeah, pardon the pun. Yeah, Jack in the Box, of course. Gex always comes out with him once.
I love it all.
There was only one other disappointing negative that I can come up with. You guys might have more negatives. The negative for me was the Adelaide loss was really a big negative and really disappointing. I felt we had our heads up our asses that day. I felt like a team that put pressure on us. I felt that the week before we got away with one a little bit against the Giants and even against the Eagles, that they dropped their pressure a little bit. We pounced, as you guys have alluded to. When you allow Carlton to play, they'll play and they'll put it on the scoreboard.
Yep.
They were waiting for that against Adelaide. Adelaide said, nah.
Yep.
We're going four quarters here. You want to win this one, you've got to earn it. And we didn't earn it. We didn't do well enough. And they pulled their pants down, as far as I'm concerned. That then leads to the next negative, the embarrassment when we went up to Brisbane. It was embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing, apart from the last quarter, whatever. But those first three quarters, I think the three of us were sharing messages. And I think we used the word embarrassing. I don't know how many times we used it.
It was terrible.
It was shit house, right?
Yep, yep.
Now, last week, you redeem yourself to a certain point, but you still lose the 4 points, which mattered. So there's three in a row we've lost. Three in a row. And we had gone win-loss, and, you know, and where we were, 8-2, 10-4, whatever we were. Mm. So, and then you come up against a side who's trying to play, well, they're going to play finals, but they could have a top four spot if they win. And we have to win to play finals. If we lose that game, then the negative for me and the real disappointment is that we finished the year with four losses. So that's to me, obviously, a big negative. And I wouldn't like to end the year in that manner. So that's the last basic negative I've got for the year, if it turns out that way.
It's big for all of those reasons. Mm. We have to finish on a positive because we've done this before. We've done this in previous seasons, just bottomed out, and it's not good enough. You just can't play to the psychology of the past every year. Because it feeds into your psyche.
Nothing means anything. Nothing's guaranteed. Just because you do something one year, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a linear improvement the next year.
It would hurt me more this year than any other because I feel like I've listed about a dozen positives and I can only list two or three negatives. In years gone by, I would have listed 20 negatives and two or three positives. Yep. Mm. So it's the wheels turned, but we can still find ourselves not playing finals.
No, that's true. And we will have to cop. It'll be a horrible week. It'll be a horrible 24 hours, and it'll be a terrible week.
Well, I'll be in jail anyway. You'll have to bail me out.
We all know what'll be coming, and it'll be hard to cop.
Absolutely.
That's
cop what you cop.
Yeah.
Just a Do you have any thoughts on any players you want to bring up, the seasons that they've had, or on a positive or on a negative level? I've just got four players, two in particular, for obvious reasons, very obvious reasons. I'll bring up two players. Doc's one.
That's a remarkable story.
Right. I know that both of you will elaborate.
No, we don't need to. It's every
miracle one.
Just say
and miracle
Sam,
two.
Sam Doherty. No.
Miracle one, miracle two.
You are just remarkable. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. And the other one that I'll give a huge amount of credit to is Charlie Curnow.
Has to be. Miracle one and miracle two.
Well, they're the two I wanted to bring up. And look, I will go a little bit further and say we've already talked about a little bit is Lewis Young. I think he's been fantastic. Hewitt was a great acquisition for our footy club. I think he would have been, gee, I reckon he would have been close to top three BNF until he got injured. Would you think that?
Oh, he's in. He'll poll a lot of votes.
Yep. And I've actually liked the way that, Corey Durden's held his spot in that side. And I know he's not a huge goal kicker, but he's held his spot. There's a reason why he's held his spot. And so they're the five that I want to give some plaudits to this year.
I love the kid. I love him. He reminds me of a young Brent Harvey.
Mm. You've said that a few times. Think in time he might be able to run through the midfield?
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know what his tank's like, but
I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets up the ground a bit more in the future. And
any other players? I want to
sing the praises of Jack Silvani.
Okay.
I mean, when we started doing this show, probably he and Levi Casbolt were probably the two players who copped as much, you know, as any scrutiny, I guess, as much as any other Carlton players, you know, externally and internally. Maybe I'm not sure. I mean, Levi's had a fantastic year at the Gold Coast Suns, and good on him. But the kid's been, he's not a kid, he's a mature man now, but he's just, he's a fascinating player. He's so much more than the sum of his numbers, Silvani. Like I don't want to go into the heart and soul cliche because that's all a bit really kind of nonsense really, because they're all trying their hardest, but he's been really important for us this year at times.
Andy,
I reckon
he'll do anything for you.
Really important. And
is he your classic old style utility?
Well, he is.
Probably a little bit more than that.
And he may have been
he'll
able
play
to be
anywhere
used
for you.
He
anywhere.
May, and you know what? To Gecko's point a bit earlier, I mean, he's not a lace it out, hit him up, you know, reliable, magnificent user of the footy. Not a bad kick, obviously, but we probably could have been a bit more adventurous with him at times. Well, for example, the Adelaide game, if the play you were saying those conditions might not have suited one or two others, well, we probably could have used him in a slightly altered role that night. We probably could have used him on a wing. You could use him off a halfback flank, you know, as a third up. The scope is, I feel like with Jack Silvani now, you can pretty much put him in any role you need him to fill, and he'll adequately contest.
Absolutely.
That role for you on any given, and he's.
I can hardly think of a position that you wouldn't put him in, and he wouldn't give you something.
No, I think he's become a really admirable AFL level player. What's he played now? I don't know how many games. He's played 20 games this year, but I don't know how many. What's he played? 100 and. Surely he's got to 100.
I don't think he's got to 100.
He's played 98.
Is that right? I would have thought he's 130 game player now. 98.
So 98, well, 99 against Collingwood. We
only,
win.
Still
and then
only
100 in the first final.
No, that's right.
Sounds
that's
good.
The other thing about
sounds
him.
Good.
He's 24.
Yep.
He's 25 in December. So yeah, he's still young.
Yeah. Reasonably durable too, I would imagine. Yeah. I don't think he's had injuries, but they haven't been. Oh, actually, he has had a few long ones.
Interesting
but,
thing for me will be if we do get a full fit list again, where is he going to fit in?
Well, he's the perfect. You sit him as one of the four blokes on the bench in any game of footy anywhere,
yeah,
and he's
no,
the perfect
no, I agree
player.
With that.
You just pick him every week.
In that, does he get picked as a bench player for the rest
no,
of his
well,
life?
No, not necessarily.
Is
no,
he
no.
a starting player?
So well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't
so,
matter.
So going yeah. forward, are we playing Pitnet and Deconi?
Yeah, it's an ongoing.
I got no
one,
idea. I got no
Again,
idea.
I think
don't
you
ask
got
me.
Pick, you got to
oh,
pick.
I'm the worst.
You got to pick. Teams.
When it comes to ruckman, don't ask me. I got no idea. All I know is we need a ruckman to go with a ruckman to nullify that ruckman's influence.
Mm.
Well, you need, if you're going to play two of them, they've got to be, one of them has to be a distinct type. One of them has to be a bloke who can is a more traditional follower. Now, Pitnett is an old-fashioned stand-up, hold his ground and drop it down. That's what he is.
Well, he's not going to take 8 marks and have 15 kicks.
No, although
he won't kick a goal or two.
Start of the year, before he did the PCL or whatever it was, the start of the year he was, I haven't looked at his numbers, but
he was very influential.
Yeah, he was getting more of the footy than he was getting since he's come back. Yeah.
I think he was numbered. He was in the top 3 for hitouts to advantage, whatever that.
And his follow-up tackling was very good.
Yeah,
too.
So I think, you know, so it'd be interesting to
restricted.
See.
Restricted. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything. I asked that before. I've got no idea where they're going to go with that.
No, I don't know.
So but I think any other players, Gex, on a positive note that you wanted to mention?
Not really.
I mean, that's about, yeah. I just highlighted those ones. Negatives. Now, this is going to be contentious, this one. I've listed 4 negative players. Negative. That's probably the wrong word.
I know what you mean.
Disappointing. Disappointing. Seasons thus far. Well, this one is very obvious, but the room might be split here. Paddy Dow.
I think he's been given a couple of chances and he hasn't taken them.
Okay.
He
might need a new environment.
He might.
I got no idea.
He just doesn't, when he gets open space, he just doesn't kick the ball as well as you want him to kick it. I mean, I don't know. I've never said a word to Paddy Dow, but I like everything about Paddy Dow, what I see and what I hear and how he fits in and how the other boys love him. And I don't know him, but I just wish he, when the opportunity presented itself to him, he had a golden opportunity in the Brisbane game and he missed targets badly.
I think in a way the worst thing that could have happened to him happened when we recruited.
Paddy Wow?
We recruited Hewitt and Chera. I mean, he just went down the rung. I mean, he was...
Yeah, but is he good enough?
Well...
That's the question with Paddy, and I hope he is, and I want him to be.
I think he's a little bit more restricted in his skill set than the other midfielders. I think he's...
I want him to be a good
possibly
player.
A little bit more forward of the ball.
From what I know, from what defensive. I hear, and I certainly won't say where it come from, but it certainly came from within the club, they have huge concerns with his tank.
Okay. Well, you can't play the role he needs to play and run to the level he needs to run if you can't.
This one will be probably a little bit, not as contentious as that one, but Will Setterfield, I think he's been disappointing.
I agree. And as I said, I would have been completely 100% with you on that until I saw last week.
Yeah, you know what? So, well, the reason I brought it up is that, you know, one... What do they say? One swallow doesn't make a summer.
No.
So why I brought him up was that there's been plenty. He's played a lot of reserve football this year, and I would say he hasn't played a lot of senior football this year. How many senior games he played?
I think Setters has tried to be reskilled in a number of areas through the year. Like he's when he's in the twos, he plays as a midfielder, and they try and skill him in that area. Now, he's 24. He's played 56 games.
Played 12 this year.
You know, like...
Has he, Andy?
Yep. See, I thought...
12 senior games.
He played the first six.
Well, sorry, I stand to be corrected. I thought he would have played less than 10, so maybe he's not as disappointing. Maybe he's been played out of position.
I thought his first 4 or 5 weeks of the season were about as good as he produced.
When he plays in the
ones... But he got dropped then, Andy.
Oh, no, then he went off the board.
What is it then?
You finish your point on
when
it.
When he plays in the ones, he's been playing as a wingman.
He's not a winger. No.
So he's out of position there. He doesn't have the speed of a wingman. And he can't, he's like Paddy Dow. He can't get into that top 5-6 of the midfield group where he's probably more suited. But now that we've had the injuries, he comes in a new role as a follower of an opposition player, and he can feed off that player. Like if he can grow that role, which he's never really played before,
what's the role?
I think Nick Dacos. I don't care if Nick Dacos doesn't play in the midfield. He basically just follows the ball. You know, he gets his 30, 40 touches a week. Just tell him to play the same way he played last week.
Nick's the first.
No, the young one who Ryan Clark played on
the first year player.
Yeah, Nick. First year player. Yeah,
so you play him off half back, but he just follows.
So you he could do that job.
Well, for the first time anyone has tried this year, they tagged him last week, and his influence
who
was
with
Ryan Clark, the former North Melbourne player, and his influence was halved. Now,
and that you'd take that.
Yeah, and they were throwing him around. They started to chuck him forward on the ball. That position that he'd been occupying, just sitting off the contest across half back. I mean, the kid's a beautiful user, but he's been doing it on his own terms pretty much all year. He had an unbelievable
super
first
smart
year.
Smart the way they used
him. Amazing. So, yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, I thought maybe someone will get the role. Carlton will have seen what Sydney did. Someone's going to get the job on him. So whether is it Nunes?
This Clark bloke, is he a Setterfield type?
Oh, he's more low to the ground, but he's a midfielder who's fighting for relevance.
Okay. Again, a little bit contentious, but I think Liam Stock has been disappointing this year.
Oh, well, I think we all would have liked to see him play more footy.
Mm.
They seem to pull the trigger on him quick a couple of times from a selection perspective, but I think we're all fans of him around here. I thought he did some really important things on Saturday night.
How many has he played, Stocker, this year?
Stocker, let me have a quick squeeze.
It wouldn't be more than five, would it? It'd only be a handful this year. And I'll tell you what he's played this year.
There we go. He's played 27 games.
He's played five this year.
Okay.
He's 22, 23 in January.
So you would consider that a disappointing year?
Well, yeah. I mean, based on we would have been the hopes would have been high for Liam at the start.
I think I had him in my best 22 round one.
Yep.
Me too. I've had high expectations for Stocker ever since he's been recruited.
So he's
does he need to lighten off, Andy?
Well, it's a challenge for him because his power and strength is one of his that's one of his the aces in his deck, and you don't want him losing that. The knock on Stock when Soss made the play for him was that he doesn't cover the ground as well as you might need to be an AFL level midfielder, and there's no evidence to suggest that those concerns were off the mark. You know, so. Yeah. But that's not to suggest I don't think that he can't find a role. I think he's strong and confident, and he's a leader. He just needs to play.
That's the problem for guys like Stocker, isn't it? Because he doesn't have an obvious position to play in.
That's the challenge. Yep.
And you have to be if you're this hybrid type like Jack Silvani is. It's really hard to fit into an established role in the side, especially when you're still a junior trying to make your way in the game. So the coaches have got to be really smart with what they do with him, and they've got to try and skill him up in the area they want him.
Well, the only other player I've got as disappointing is Fogarty.
Well, I haven't had my hopes haven't been particularly high on him.
The only reason I bring his name up is that we did. We did select him. We did chase him. I can't remember if it was Nick or Soss that got him. I can't remember. Was it Soss that got him?
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember. Doesn't matter. So we saw him as a player that could come to our side and fill a void, whether that was a pressure small forward, whether it was someone who could go through the midfield. I would venture to say he's only played about one or two games this year.
Mm.
So that's disappointing. I can't find any other disappointing players, to be honest, on the list. Is there anyone else, Gex, that you sort of come to mind? Or
disappointing, I would only put the Williams and Martin sort of category in because, you know, we've never since they've been at our club, they've never been able to show us what we've paid for them, really.
Yeah, big money investments, and we need more. Simple as that.
I would say to Jack Martin, you need to really dedicate yourself to the last journey of your career. Get your body not only 100% but 150% right. You know, there is so much potential for you to be the player everyone thinks you are, but you've got to actually dedicate yourself to be that player, you know, like calf injuries and these soft tissue injuries, it just tells me you're not building the right tank to play football these days. And I don't know. I might be way off the mark.
No, no. Well, it actually probably leads on to the next segue, and it's probably the elephant in the room. And I don't think we've touched on it. If we have, it's only because I've had two beers and I can't remember. Have we actually addressed the injury list, the whys, the hows, the wherefores?
Well, how would we know?
No, I'm asking you, Andy.
No, we've talked about it routinely throughout the show. How would you know?
Don't ask me.
No, and this is
he's the high performance coach. Mm. I'm not going to tell him how to do his job.
Of course not.
But when you have an injury list with such depth and it's reoccurring year after year, and I think you'd agree that Martin, Williams, Gov.
They're the soft tissue.
They're
guys.
The ones that maybe Marchbank, maybe Cunningham, I'm not sure, but whether you can throw those in as well. But lots of people ask the question. I'm going to ask you guys, because I have zero idea about the whole issue. Zero idea.
How would you know? Like,
well, I'm asking you.
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
You're smarter than me.
How would I know whether
and
this
so
is
you.
Bad management or bad luck?
I don't know.
A lot of the,
how would any of us know?
I'm just, and then look at that was, you know, Andy, it's been one of these things that just keep rolling out.
Andrew Russell's got one of the best reputations. We were thrilled when we got into the club, so why would we doubt that he doesn't know what he's doing now? So there might have been a realignment of his involvement across the board after the Teague, you know, the Teague years. I think he now knows what his role is at the footy club. You know, there's been, I think Brian Cook has made sure that everybody in the joint knows where what their lanes are, and let's all stay in them. Mm. Let's make sure you do the job you're employed to do and not step out of your lane and get involved in areas you're not welcome or not supposed to be getting involved in. I think there's been a bit of that. But this bloke is very, I've got no reason to doubt that Andrew Russell knows what he's doing in terms of getting athletes right to perform.
All right. That's okay.
No, no.
I'm not being smart here, mate.
But the bottom line is we look at our injury list and it is always long. Mm.
So you've got to separate the collision contact injuries away from the equation because they're things you can't avoid. Mm. I mean, if you're doing a knee because you've landed badly or you've...
Talk amongst yourselves for a sec.
You've done a shoulder because you've copped a big whack in the shoulder.
Yeah.
Whatever. You've twisted an ankle. There's only so much you can prevent. But soft tissue injuries caused by, you know, overexertion of muscles and things like that, they're the ones that you probably need to think a bit more deeply about, I would suggest. But
yeah, and I think the people that do query it, look, they're genuine Carlton people, Gex, they're good people, and they're concerned. So their concern is that, this concern shouldn't be a concern. It should be none of their business. You know, they say, we're paying this bloke, you know, top dollar, blah, 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 and we've got all these injuries. Okay, the way you just put it, collision, take them aside. Mm. What are we left with? They might say the two or three that I mentioned, reoccurring calf with Martin, reoccurring with Achilles with Williams. We inherited both of those players, by the way, from other clubs.
Yeah, they had a history beforehand.
So let's get one thing straight. And Gubb was the other one that had a history. He wasn't exactly. You know what I mean? Like, so those three players in particular really frustrate people. So when they, you know, I think they're leaning towards, you know, sticking it to Jack Russell. I was privy to a conversation with the president early in the week last week, and I mentioned it.
What did I miss?
And he actually, he basically said, look, and look, he might be livid that I actually say this on air, but he's right behind him. He said, if you know the bloke, he dots his I's, crosses his T's, he's a professional, he's doing everything in his powers to get our players up week to week. So he goes, I personally, and I know the club personally, doesn't have an issue with Jack Russell.
No, I don't have an issue with him.
So
I will say one thing.
Yep.
Regarding Cunningham, The man did his knee and was due back in the first half of this season. I need to know the explanation for him not playing
he
a game.
He did have
this
a little setback, didn't he?
I hear these terms.
Yeah,
setback,
I know.
It's not good enough for me. I want to know what went wrong and why, because it to me it's ridiculous to have a whole season wasted when he's due to come back in the first half of the year. It just leaves me dumbfounded.
Yeah. That's too. All I want to basically say on injuries.
Can I just say one thing on players? I don't know. I really don't know what happened with Tommy Williamson. Can I say, I know he's ended up at North now and he's playing on their VFL. Tommy, good luck, mate.
Absolutely.
He gave us, when we were on the bones of our ass as a footy team, that day at Docklands when he was a kid and he stood up to that GWS team that was powerful and he said, No, we're not stepping aside for you. And he took on Stevie J that day. I saw something in that kid that I think we all thought we're going to see something. This kid's going to play a lot of footy for our footy club. He's tough.
I was riding him for a long time, Tommy.
So there's something going on.
Whatever happened.
So, Tom, you know, look after yourself.
Yep.
You know,
be happy
in your life. And thanks for wearing the footy jumper and fighting the fight for us when you did.
Do you have any overriding biggest improvement that you want to make a statement on, whether it's for now or for going forward? The only thing I'll say...
The only thing I'll say
is the biggest improvement I see is that this year has instilled my confidence back in this club.
Mm, good.
Win-based and other-based. You know, I hear the terms of... they've improved the culture and environment. That instills, and you know, they've put some really good people in some good places. So that instills a lot of confidence back in this club for me and where it's heading. So, and that desire to get better increasingly makes me feel better. And the future, I don't necessarily, you know, I haven't got a crystal ball. I don't necessarily know what the future holds, but I think the future looks good. And I'm rapt at you blokes. Well, especially you, Gex, you read out a list there of young players there, right, that I probably take for granted, to be honest with you. I think most of them are under 21, and I've got to remember that. And the age demographic where we lack is the 28 to 33 type player that hasn't played the 150, 200, 250 finals experience in general. And I think... obviously, and I don't want to rehash bad times, but I think that 2010 to 2014 draft period, I'm pretty sure we've hardly got a player on our list from that period. And look, it might be Cripps, I could be wrong, but we don't have a player on the list. But if we did from 2012, they'd be now 30.
Hmm.
If they were 2011, they'd be 29, they'd be 28. We'd have those players on our list if everything went right back then. Mm. And I don't want to rehash it. But,
no point.
But the age demographic that we have at the moment.
It's a good mix.
It is a good mix going forward. It is. But as much as we see the future and with the list that you just mentioned and what you've said, Andy, too, about certain players, there's still many out there with this level of impatience, and that's okay. That's okay.
No, it's not really.
Well,
it's not really.
All right.
It's not really.
The only reason why I say you can have that level of impatience, but you're going to give yourself a lot of heartburn. Whereas we're old dogs here, the three of us, right? Mm. So we know what it takes. They don't hand out grand finals on a platter. They don't hand you a spot in the finals on a platter, and we're gonna find out on Sunday, you know, how hard it is to get that win. And the season's a long season, so you've got to work damn hard. Now, if that's year after year after year building a side,
which
together,
it is, that's what it is.
What Geelong built, and I know that they're probably not a great example because now that they bring in their 28, 29 year olds and whatever, they're probably not a great example. Maybe the Sydneys, the Hawthorns, over the years that have built their side together, play a lot of footy together. We don't really have that. You cannot say that we have a team that's been playing together for 5 or 6 years. Not a chance in hell.
No, why?
So please, please, and it's more a statement, Andy, than anything else. People who listen to this show, if you want to listen, listen carefully. Put your ears very, very closely. This is not an easy fix. It was never going to be an easy fix. We've got layers to add. Time is on our side with the players that Gex read out, with what Andy said about some of the players. So sometimes you've got to play the long game. Your impatience is wearing people out.
Yeah, there's. I mean, look, it's maybe people changed their expectations after the start of the season. We had, you know, no problems. Do be yourself and do what you want to do. But what you say is 100% right. You just look where we've been: 13th, 18th, 14th, 16th, 18th, 16th, 11th, 13th. That's what we've done coming into this year. So, you know, we get 8-2. What? So suddenly we're in the best two or three sides in the comp. Suddenly we're going to be winning premierships. And because we're not, and we're hanging on by our fingernails, everything's a joke. We've got players who are busts. The whole thing's a disappointment. Where are we at?
It drives me crazy.
Oh, no, well, we hear it and we see it, and then that's what goes on. So
drives me mad, Gex. Yeah. Drives me mad.
So I
hear it at the bloody football.
So
at the football, yeah, I go there I'm not going to say what you said about why you don't go sometimes, but you know, you go there to try and enjoy the football for what it is, but you've got these. You know, when you're at the football, have some common courtesy. There's women there, old ladies there, young girls there, and the profanities. And the shit that they throw at our players, the same players every week.
We're no good at
that. Same players every week, right? Pull your fucking heads in. Seriously, yeah. It's disgraceful.
So the thing I like about what we're doing.
Years ago, you'd get your head kicked in at the footy if you went one of your own just quietly.
Yeah. I like our method. I like what we're doing. I think there's based on what I've seen from the group, Brian Cook's come in and given us a calming.
Cook, I agree with that.
Really calming head at the top, he's called it out. He's told a few people a few things around the joint that they needed to hear, and he's got everyone in their own departments doing their own thing.
Yes,
the work at Carlton from an infrastructure perspective.
You know that, Andy?
Yep, the work at Carlton from an infrastructure perspective is outstanding. Like what these players are now going to have access to in terms of training facilities is world class. It's been getting better. The indoor training facility and what's going to sweep around there for the women is remarkable. So they'll have access to all the best facilities that an AFL player could wish to have. I like the method. I like the people. I like the fact that Hamill's back. I like Hansen. I like Voss. I like his mate that he got over from North, the big rugged red-headed Greaves, who just sits alongside him and seems to be a very important person for Michael. I love Luke Power. I love Daniel O'Keefe. I think we've got a lot of good people in.
I've got faith in that.
So do I. Yeah. So do I. And I'm not in a rush for it all to happen quickly.
But I wouldn't have had a clue at the start of the year, just quietly. If you had have asked me, you know, people did ask me, the Michael Voss appointment, what do you think, Baz?
No idea.
Well, how would I know?
No, well, it's... Yeah, no.
Yeah, what I know.
It's the fourth or fifth.
Just let the year unfold. Watch the years go by. Make your own assessments.
I'll tell you what I know.
How would you know?
Based on, I don't know how many Carlton supporters remember Vossi when he was at Brisbane coaching, but he's a very different Michael Voss now. He doesn't know the name of the unnamed soldier. Back then he knew everything. Vossi was the king of the world back then. Don't worry, I know everything. Bulletproof Michael, and I can come to me and I've got all the answers because he could do it. He's a superhero as a player. And he copped a couple of knocks at the end of his coaching time. Went away, didn't give the game away, went to Port Adelaide, pulled his head in, learnt. And he's come back and he is, from what I can gather, he is a far more rounded coach, leader of men. He's far more circumspect. I think he knows he's got some really good coaches around him. He's a good delegator. I think we're in a good position. So,
good. Yeah.
You know, hey, if we're next year, if we're playing for our final survival in round 23, let's have a chat again, shall we? Because I reckon I will be a bit disappointed then. But this year has been a build. We're heading in the right direction, and we want to win on Sunday. Of course we do. We want to beat them, and we want to play in the finals, and that would be great because there'll be a lot of players who will get some great benefits out of being part of a game of football.
If there's a scale of positivity versus negativity, I think the positivity is on the upside.
Spot on.
So, in brief, what does it mean to you then this week? You know, the history. That's all right. You guys go off on a tangent and say whatever you want to say here. But the question I'm going to pose to you is, this week against them, what's it actually mean to you? Whether you want to bring up history as an adolescent, as a young boy, whether it what's happened in the last 20 years or the now, whatever you want to say about it, what's it mean to you?
I'll tell you right now, this game, this is a fucking cage match, my friend. Mm. This is Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. This is the ultimate warrior versus Randy Macho Man Savage. This is Ali versus fucking Frazier, my friend. This is all or nothing this week. All or nothing. So stare down your opponent, go over that frickin' white line and kick the shit out of them this week, boys, because you don't get another chance. That's what this game is.
And this is from a man who doesn't really show emotion.
No, not that much.
But it's funny how you can draw something out when it comes against this mob. Andy, you got something to add there? Come on, just say it. Just say it, mate.
No, of course.
I know you're a professional, so you've got to be careful what you say.
No, I don't have to be careful.
No, just say it then. What's it mean to you?
Well, it doesn't mean everything.
But what does it mean to you against them? This is on the line, what he just said. Now, come on. The history. Remember the history.
No, I'm not going to get sucked into becoming all frothy and emotional about it.
You don't have to. Just say what it means to you.
Well, I think this team deserves to play finals footy. Mm. I think it deserves, based on the year that it's had, I think this group of players deserves to play finals footy. And I think this club deserves the opportunity to be part of the final eight. And they know what they have to do to achieve that. And I hope the Western Bulldogs beat Hawthorn. I hope we get to the MCG and
big chance. Just
and we have to. I hope they. No, I hope
he hopes the Doggies beat Hawthorn.
I don't want Hawthorn. I want us to have to win to get in.
Yeah,
I don't want Hawthorn beating the Western Bulldogs.
They are a big chance, though.
Not at the moment.
I understand what he's saying. I want us to face down our
Doggies. So do I. Yeah, I want to earn it.
So
yeah.
do I. Yeah. And you know what? In terms of what that's not going to mean. We're going to have a chance to win the flag. That's all that means.
No.
It means that they've delivered on a massive stage, and it means that
got to kick the skeletons
There's going to be blokes like Motlop, Durden, Owies, Martin, Stocker, Young, Cottrell, maybe Jack if he holds his ground. I don't know whether they bring Zach Williams in. I don't know. Do we feel Zach Williams should come in for this game?
I think it's strategic.
Okay.
In case we do win.
So I'm just rattling through what those players will get out of winning a game of footy like this will be returned exponentially in 2023
and 2024. Following on to what you said, I want to see one of those guys do something unexpected.
Yep.
That they
own
don't
the,
even
under,
they
own
don't even think they can
yep.
do.
Yep.
That's
own
what I
moment.
Want to see in this game.
Yeah, I'd like the little blokes en masse inside Ford 50 to run amok.
Absolutely,
run amok, boys, run amok. And if I want to see. You know what I want to see on the week. You get a chance, take the pink, take it on. Don't lay it off. Don't lay it off
Absolutely.
To someone else.
No,
take the pink.
Yep.
Take ownership.
Yep.
Take ownership.
Own the moment. Yep.
So
that's what I want to see.
So we've got plenty out of you. That I was, you shocked
is
me.
Is this the final word? There's a final word of the show coming up here.
Not too many.
There's a big build up here.
You're coming, no, there's not.
There's
no,
a Michael Holding run up for you.
No, there's not at all.
There's something coming.
Not at all, because I got something out of Gecko that I didn't think I was going to get, which is absolutely fantastic. With you, Andy, you know, a little bit more methodical, and I like what you said, actually. I really do, because you're more for the
he's,
I hope
he's got to protect himself.
Oh, no, he, I know. He's bigger than Ben Hur these days.
He can't come out with anything.
No, I know. He's bigger than Ben. He's bigger than Ben Hur, this bloke. But
I love a bit of clickbait.
I think I am. You know me both very, very well. You know me as a person. You know me as a mate. You know me as a Carlton supporter, extra well. And then when it comes to this mob, you probably know me a little bit extra, extra well. A little bit, because there's always a little bit of spice on when it comes to this mob and me. So I am a little bit of a historian when it comes to this sort of shit. And I do remember, it's so entrenched in my mind, Carlton Collingwood games at Vic Park and at Princess Park and the MCG and grand finals, which we don't lose against them, by the way. But for me, like, the history means everything, and it doesn't mean anything for our players or their players these days. I get that. Mm. I understand, you know, that's they're all mates and whatever they do after and shake hands, and that's fantastic. But on the day, you've got to remember that there is history. There actually is history, and that history has always suggested that when a game means something between Carlton and Collingwood, we generally get the job done, whether it's grand finals, whether it's whatever. Generally speaking, we get it done. On the weekend, I'm looking at it. If you're asking me from my head, I say we've got the way we've been going, I reckon there's a standing eight count from the referee right now.
Yep.
And they're lying on the ground. So that's what my head's saying. But then, because you know I've got a big heart, then I say, well, fuck it. I'm getting up off the canvas, right? You can feel me gloves. I look in the eye. I'm right to go, ref. I've got more in me. And you come out swinging. You come out swinging, and you give a left and a right, and a couple of uppercuts, and then you throw the knockout blow, and you put this fucking mob into orbit, right, where they belong. Right, where they belong, that's where they belong, right? And this is supporter-based, so this is nothing against their coach, nothing against their players, right? But when I see black and white, I see fucking red, right? So you put them into orbit, you put them where they're supposed to be, in the shit house, right? And then we play another game of football the following week. So at the end of the day, that's what it means to me when it comes to history. When I know all the history that behind all the things that they've done to us on the field, right, and we never did nothing to them on the field, nothing,
Billy,
nothing.
Billy Pickin, God rest your soul.
Yep. Rene Kink, Ray Shaw, Dennis Stan Banks, Magro. Stan Magro. See, this is what I love when you talk ad lib, right, then you draw things out of people, right, and you weren't going to say anything, but you throw names out. You said plenty, and you still throw names out. So all, we remember what it means to us. So on Sunday, it is a battle royal. You're right, Gecko, right? And it's a last man standing, right? And it's a fucking battlefield. And I'm telling you now, our blokes have to come off that ground, right? Look each other in the eye and say, we did everything to get the job done, right? And they will get it done on Sunday, I'm telling you. I'm telling you now, they will get it done. Believe you me, right? This is tribal warfare, right? Tribal warfare, and they'll get the fucking job on Sunday done, and that's all there is to it. And I don't care what happens, and if they don't get it done, right, I'm going to go to the timekeepers, right? I'm going to say, extra 5 minutes, right? We're back on again.
Boys, it's been good fun. It's lovely to see you both. It continues to be a wild ride for all of us.
Bagsy? Just before you go, I've got one for you and I've got one for you.
Oh, lovely.
Now, you can keep it to yourself or you can sort of take the instructions.
So he's given, I don't know what he's given Baz, but he's given me an envelope that says, bucket not to be opened unless we are unsuccessful on Sunday.
So hang on.
So not if we're successful, don't open it.
So if we are successful, you don't open this.
No, we burn just, it. If we win the game, just burn
get
it.
Get rid of it.
Well, you know what I'm going to do. I'm still going to open it.
No, I won't. I'll wait.
You won't? You'll honour him?
Yeah, per, you're honor per him? Request.
Got to
yeah,
stay, my okay. Stayed in the instructions.
All right. Last thing.
That you've got more to say after all of that.
No. Right. Not on a high level. Just, do you have ins and outs? Do you have any thing that
well,
you
Well, Williams is interesting, so...
Chera gets up?
Well, Chera's got to come back in if he's fit.
Do you think he'll play? Yeah. And who would you take out?
Well, interestingly, the VFL are in exactly the same situation.
Oh. So both teams are going to need to win to play finals.
We can play players in the twos just for fitness reasons. So, for, you know, whether it's Williams because they think he's going to make a difference or Williams because they think they need to get some miles into his legs in case we win, I don't know.
So what they do, and we're sitting in the studio here at SEN recording this, and you're sitting in the seat that Craig Paz, you're sitting in the seat that Craig McRae sits in when he comes in. He's coming in. So we're here on...
Don't play anything.
We're recording this on Tuesday night.
I like the bloke.
He'll be sitting in your seat tomorrow. He told us a couple of weeks ago, we were trying to make some sense out of Collingwood statistically. He said, look, you can't, but what we know is that our data tells us that we finish games stronger than the opposition. The data that reveals that, you know, tells us that our blokes are running harder than the oppo. At the end of the game. Mm. Now, they worked hard against Sydney, just didn't come off for them. They were too far back.
Yep, that's the worry.
So don't pick Zach Williams if you have doubts about his ability to
as a
be...
sub?
What if someone goes down the first 5 minutes and he comes...
I wouldn't play him as a sub.
The way you've just described the game, the knock him down, the stand-up, knock him down affair that this is going to be...
Yep.
You can't take blokes in who you have a doubt about their capacity to get through four quarters, even if it's going to be the sub, because you never know when the sub's going to be required. Yeah. Paddy Dow didn't get a lick of the ice cream the other night. So if he's not, if you've got a doubt about him in this for this game, I would say...
You get a game in a two.
Play him in the twos. Play him in the twos. If Chera's right to go, and I suspect he is, they're saying that he should play, well, it's going to be Dow goes out. Dow goes out, Chera comes in, he starts.
Who goes out?
Dow. Well, Chera comes back into the 22 and someone goes out of the 22 to be the sub.
Yeah, who would that be?
Well, you can take your pick, but...
Probably
Jack.
Jack Nunes.
Probably Jack.
Jack Nunes, yeah. Yeah, so in a word...
Centerfield deserves to play.
Oh, he'll play.
He'll become important all of a sudden.
In a word, Gex, we're going to win it.
Head says no, gut says yes.
I'm more confident about the Collingwood game than I was the Melbourne game. I didn't think we could beat Melbourne.
The weather's going to be interesting.
So the only question I've got is what sort of emotional toll did Saturday take out of us? Was it such a big build-up? Now, they're professionals and the club, you know, and the coach knows and they all know, but... Can we come up again? Can we get up again? Collingwood had its off week. Collingwood was flat. Sydney had too good. Their experience last weekend was very different than that. We both lost, but their experience was much different than ours.
Oh, the psychologies are.
Yep. So,
this is the thing. You can't ever really.
No. So they lose Ginnivan, and I kind of half hope they play to Goey. I mean, if he's that hip flexors can be tricky. You can feel like they're fixed quickly, and yet the minute you ping and push off it, bang, it goes straight away.
Oh, if he's 50-50, I hope they play him.
So do I. So
and Taylor, right?
Well, he's not playing. He's out.
Taylor
so,
is, yeah.
But you know, just that half goes halfway towards equalising what we're going in without. So I'm not.
So Gex reckons Hart says yes.
I think we'll beat
Head
him.
Says no.
I think we'll beat him.
Andy says we think we'll beat them.
Back our good players.
Yeah, I know we'll beat them.
Yeah, I know we'll beat them.
On finishing, guys, I put it out on Twitter before we came on air that we're going to have this show. Been an unbelievable response out there, guys. Seriously, all of you are unbelievable. A tremendous response. You left a lot of questions on there. I did ask for that. But I think over the night, I reckon we've covered just about 75% of the
questions. It's a solid 2 hours. We've been a solid hour and 45 minutes. Most will be.
I reckon we've covered a fair bit.
They're sick of us by now, so we should wrap it up and get out of here.
Exactly. Apologies if I haven't.
Baz, you are the darling of the Carlton Twitter. Gex, you should see him. I don't know whether you've got some little sneaky burner account that you keep an eye on all this nonsense, but you should see him. He's become he's become the godfather of the Carlton Twitter community. They I don't know what they see in him.
Can we convert that into some sort of dollar sort of return at all?
No, I don't want money. I don't want money, but I tell you what. There'll be a horse's head in someone's bed on Sunday if we don't get the chocolates done.
Boys, good to see you. Thanks for bringing the lagers, Bagsy.
Yeah, no, no, no dramas at all.
It's been a good evening, boys. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Clickety-clack. The Carlton show's back. Ring-a-ding-ding.
When making the double chicken deluxe at Macca's, we wanted to improve on the perfect combo of tender Aussie chicken with cheese, tomato and aioli. So, we doubled it. Chicken and Macca's, together and loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Available after 10:30 a.m. for a limited time only.
The pump is the king.
See you later, folks.
See you, boys.
All the best.
Thanks.